I was going to say I failed to mention as we were having the prayer request, I would ask that you remember me in your prayers. I'm going out to the fast state this next week, and just pray that I don't get run over. But after hearing that, maybe it'd just be as well if I do get run over. I go on home then. But I will be on next Sunday. Brother Paul Cofer will be here to preach next Sunday morning. And so many of you know him, and I know you'll be pleased to hear him again. I know he'll do a good job for us. And so keep him in your prayers, and do keep me in your prayers. I'm most of you probably already know, been invited to come out and help the church in Santa Paula observe their anniversary. I think probably I had said their 65th, but when I looked last night at some of their the old records I had, they started in 1947, so that'd make them, what, 70 years instead of, pardon, 70s, is that right? Yeah. So they got an extra 5 years there. Some of you mathematicians you shouldn't have to pull out your calculator or your phone there to figure this out. But anyway, I'll be gone just a short amount of time. And I will need your prayers. I just know that no matter where you are, you always need the help of the Lord to be able to preach his word. And that doesn't change. That's been the same long before I started preaching, and that'll be the case until we finally leave this world and say goodbye. This morning I would like to have you think for a few minutes, and I've already checked the clock. I'm getting an early start, which means I should get you out of here a little early this morning. But I'd like for you to think a little bit about the words of the Lord when he said, where are the nine? Where are the nine? Now, from the 17th chapter of the book of Luke, and I've been failing to give y'all the scripture, and you had to kind of try to figure out where I'm at. So if you'll help me, I'll try to remember to do that more often now. 17th chapter of the book of Luke, starting in with the 12th verse. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said unto them, go show yourselves unto the priest. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answering said, where were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the nine? There are not found that return to give glory to God save this stranger. And he said unto him, arise, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. I want to look at two or three different things here in this particular portion of the word of the Lord. And as I say, keep in mind that Jesus asked, where are the nine? And before you spend an awful lot of time, it doesn't tell us where they were. It doesn't tell us. Let's look at, first of all, what we have in this particular portion of the word of the Lord is that you have 10 lepers. And we know, according to the word of the Lord, that people who had leprosy were social outcasts at best. And leprosy was a very dreaded disease. I think probably would be, in our day, comparable to our cancer. But there were many people who had leprosy, and when it was discovered they had leprosy, old Mosaic law had a tremendous amount of procedures that had to be followed whenever that it was discovered, what was to happen to the individuals who had the leprosy, and then if there was a healing or a curing of the leprosy, the procedures that had to be gone through for a declaration of them to be declared clean and to be reinstituted into the normal society. And it was not often that happened. and it truly took a miracle. We have a spiritual form of leprosy today that is costing people their lives, and it is sin, and it affects every single one of us. It is not just like leprosy or like cancer, but it is something that affects every single one of us. It is no respecter of persons. It does affect everyone. In this particular case, there these 10 men, one of them was a Samaritan. And so again, when Jesus looked at this group of men and spoke unto them, he did not separate them out, as is so often done. They all had the same need. They all had the same disease. And they all needed the same thing. We need to understand today that people who are lost have a need in their life. Jesus said, I came not to destroy the law, but to fulfill it. And he said, they that are whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. And so we need to understand that sin sickness of the soul is a very serious thing, and that people who have that certainly need help. And the only cure for that is through the Lord Jesus Christ and the price that he paid and the healing that can come from him. These 10 men, when they recognized Jesus was in the area, were not hesitant to call out and to cry out unto him and to ask for help. I think it's important that we understand that we as God's children, I've said this many times, enjoy a privilege of being able to talk to the Lord. We have the opportunity to pray to him. I say many times that if you listen as we pray, we most of the time do more praying than we do praising. And so when we begin to think about the 9 out of the 10 that didn't come back, we also need to keep in mind that many times we're asking the Lord and we're praying for things and we're praying for people and everything. But when the Lord does something and answers our prayers, many times we forget to thank him. We forget to praise him. We forget to say, Lord, thank you for what you have done in this particular situation. And every single one of us, as a child of God, we have that wonderful privilege of praying. And I'm thankful we do. You know, I find that I need to talk to the Lord more and more all the time. And I was thinking the other day, maybe the other night, I don't remember now which it was. You know, I truly believe in angels. I've always told you all that. I truly believe in. I believe each of us have a guardian angel. And I got to thinking about it, and you know, I've got to have more than one. I'm sure, Dan, that I must have a whole legion of them, because they are that busy having to try to take care of me and to look after me, and it's a 24-hour job for them. I mean, I truly believe they'd get tired after a while. They'd have to switch off on them. But you know, I think sometimes that God is so good and blesses in so many ways, and ways that sometimes we just take for granted, that we as his children forget to say, Lord, thank you. Thank you for those little things that you do for us. Thank you not only for, you know, the big things that happen in our lives, but for the little things that happen. I was reminded of that again this week. An individual was telling me about an experience when their grandmother passed away, and the individual said, you know, I was at my grandma's house, and after she died, I looked around and said, you know, grandma cooked and fed people all the time she was alive. And she said, I looked around and there was not one single thing in the house to eat. And I thought, what in the world, you know? And she said, about that time, a knock came at the door. And here was a lady standing here who had brought a cake to the house. And she described the cake in detail, you know. And she said, I just took it in, and I thought, isn't that amazing how that just like that. And that lady had no idea what the other person was thinking about. There's no food here. Now, it wasn't a case that this family was destitute or anything. It was just a case that Grandma had always done the cooking and everything, and Grandma wasn't there to do it. But she said, I will never forget this person who brought that cake. And she said, I got in there and I just ate on that cake, you know. And I said, you know what? See, there again, it just goes to show the person who brought that probably never thought a thing. That was just something they were going to do. And it was something little that they probably don't even remember. But you've remembered it, and you've not forgotten that after all of these years. And I think sometimes that we as God's people fail to think about the little things and to realize that it is the little things that not only that we can do for one another, but that God does for us, and that we need to thank Him. We are always asking Him. We ask Him for little things. We ask Him for big things. These men were crying out. The Bible says they cried out unto the Lord. They weren't ashamed to be heard. There was something that they desperately wanted, and they were serious about it. Lost people, before they're ever going to get saved, have to get serious with the Lord. And they're going to have to get to the point to where that they want the Lord more than they want anything else. And they're going to have to get to the point to where they're not ashamed that they want Him in their heart and their life. And they're going to have to ask. That may be all they do. That may be all that they can do. Because I'm going to tell you, you can't do anything in the way of works that's going to make you worthy of it. Again, as I've been studying, and I'll put in a couple of plugs here real quick. Again, most of you know we're having Good Friday services here. We're also having a sing on March the 26th here, an in-house sing at the church. I'll make announcements while I'm preaching. And then we're going to have our first anniversary celebration on April the 30th. And then we're going to have another one on June the 11th. We're just not going to quit with one. And we may have another one later on. Who knows? We haven't decided what we're going to yet. But anyway, we've got those coming up. But on the Good Friday, I'm going to be preaching on the seven sayings of Jesus from the cross. And, of course, that second one is whenever the thief cried out and said, remember me when thou comest in thy kingdom. That's all he could do. You know, he couldn't do anything. He was nailed to the cross. But he could call out, and he did. He asked the Lord to remember him. We cannot do works to gain salvation, but we can call out unto the Lord. We do call out unto the Lord, and we have to do that and not be ashamed of it to be able to ask him. Ask, and ye shall receive. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. We need to do that sometimes. We as God's children many times need not be ashamed to call upon the Lord and to ask him for his help, for his blessings. These men, they cried out. They said, Lord, Lord, Master Jesus, have mercy on us. Let me tell you something. As I study the word of the Lord, that I've come to realize that every single individual at one time or another is going to ask for mercy of the Lord. We'll either ask for his mercy while we walk here upon the face of the earth and gain it, or we'll wake up in hell and beg for mercy, and there will be no mercy. Those people, if you remember, the portion of the word of the Lord that deals with the rich man and Lazarus, the rich man begged for help, and it was too late, too late. Too many times people wait too late until it's too late. These men, however, when they called out unto the Lord, the Bible says that Jesus saw them, and he said to them, go show yourselves unto the priests. Now, that was a requirement under Old Mosaic law, and what typically they would have done here, that when they went to show themselves to the priest would make the declaration that they had been cured of their leprosy. And so Jesus already knew these men were going to be cured of their leprosy because he was going to cure them. He was going to heal them, and he did. These men, the Bible says that he said, go show yourselves unto the priests. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. Now, they listened to what he said, And they didn't say, well, now let us see. Can we all go together? Do we have to all go separate? Or do we have to have some Baptists go with us? Or what do we have to do now? They didn't have to do anything except listen to what he said. And that's what people need to do today. They need to listen to the Lord. Quit listening to the church. Quit listening to the preacher. Quit listening to anybody else and listen to the Lord. See what his word says. Trust him and believe him. We all need to do that more. They, you know, as soon as they heard this, they took off. Well, why? Because they wanted to be cleansed, healed of their leprosy. And Jesus had given them the answer. He said, go show yourself to the priest. And they believed. They had faith to believe. They took off. And the Bible says, and they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God. Man, he didn't say, fellas, wait a minute. He had in his heart that what had happened deserved something before he got to the priest. He wanted to go back and thank the one who had healed him of his leprosy. I this week took a letter that I had received 50 some years ago. I'm going to give it to the person who sent it to me. But this person had written me a letter the morning after they were saved. And they just recently retired from a ministry that they've been in for many, many years. And I'm sure they don't realize that I still have that letter. And so I'm going to see they get it back. But basically was writing to thank me for being a part of their salvation. And I didn't have a part of it in it other than to just pray. But I was so appreciative of that person took the time right then to want to let me know that they'd been saved. What is more important is that we let the Lord know that we're appreciative that he saved us. And to let him know, not just once, but every day that he has saved us. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for all of your blessings. This one old boy, he came back, saw he was healed, and he turned back and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks, and he was a Samaritan. I find it interesting that the word of the Lord put that in there. It didn't have to be in there. We didn't really have to know that one out of this group was a Samaritan. And of course, we know the dealings in the between the Jews and the Samaritans was not good. Normally, they were worlds apart. But I think it's also important that we understand that because our society puts things worlds apart does not necessarily mean that's the way God does it. God does not look at things the way we do. God does not see things the way that we see them. God does not handle situations the way that we would handle them. And this man who was a Samaritan out of the ten came back and fell down and worshiped the Lord. I tell people every once in a while, you know, we're always talking about, you know, whenever we finally see the Lord, we think about seeing him face to face this morning. What a time that's going to be when we see him face to face. I know that's going to happen. But I cannot yet get to the point to where that I can believe that I'm going to be allowed to be able to be there and see him face to face. I still think that I'm going to be like this old boy was. I'm going to have to be flat on my face before him to say, thank you, Lord, for even saving me. And I'm certainly not deserving of being one of your children, but I am thankful that I am. I know when we get to heaven that'll be changed and it'll be okay. But while I'm here, I've never felt like that I was even worthy to look up to him. And yet I know he teaches in his word that we've got to look to him. The Bible says that He fell down on his face and gave thanks, and he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answering said, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? I've got about 3 minutes, but it won't take me 3 minutes to tell you. He didn't answer. He didn't answer. Did he know? I don't know. It didn't matter. It didn't matter what the other 9 had done, other than the fact that, you know, I look at it and say, well, you know, they should have been more appreciative than that. But that 10th person, it was not his business. He wasn't to predicate his actions upon what the other 9 did. He was there for what the Lord had done for him. And he came there to thank the Lord for what he had done in his life. I don't know whether he even knew. Did those guys go on to the priest? Didn't matter. What was important was, and he wasn't there to judge those other 9. He was there to thank the Lord for what the Lord had done for him. Where are the other 9? Why, we all know the Lord knew where they were. That wasn't a question that the Lord didn't know the answer to, because he did know. But it didn't matter to this old boy. He came there to thank the Lord for what the Lord had done for him. And the Bible says, there are not found that return to give glory to God save this stranger. And he said unto him, arise, go thy way. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Yeah, you get up and go on your way. I'll give you all a little clue. My text next Sunday, and I don't know whether I'm preaching Sunday morning or Sunday afternoon. I've got to call and check. I told Diana one night this week, I don't know whether I'm supposed to be preaching out there next Sunday, whether I'm preaching Sunday morning or Sunday afternoon. Don't guess it'll make any difference. But my text is going to be this. Forgetting those things which are behind. That's going to seem an unusual text for an anniversary, because we want to think about the 70 years past. Forgetting those things which are behind and looking forward to the high mark of the calling of the Lord Jesus Christ, I press onward. And you know, we need to sometimes be able to do as the Lord instructed this guy. Get up and go. Get up and go. We need to go onward. But as we go, we need to be sure. And I didn't get that quoted quite right in my text. It didn't sound right. I've got it down. I've got it written down, so I'll get it right whenever I do it. But I don't know why I had said that this morning. But anyway, you all know now. But you know, we do need to then go on. Go forward. And as we do so, we need to go with a thankful heart that regardless of what everybody else is doing, regardless of where the 9 are, we know where we are and what we are supposed to be doing, because we know what the Lord has done for us in our lives. While we stand, while we sing this morning, if the Lord has spoken to your heart, would you listen to him? Would you let him have his way with you this morning? And most importantly, remember that it is not what everybody else does. It's what I do.